Hello, everyone. It's time for another edition of Adventures in Careerland. I am your host, Adriano Magnifico. I am the lead career person at the Louis-Riel Arts and Technology Center. And that's a very interesting place out in Windsor Park, Manitoba, Canada. I have to say Canada now because we have some people who listen to this podcast outside of the country.
Really?
I discovered. Yes,
it's that's an amazing crazy thing.
So, we're in Canada, but we're mostly in Winnipeg, a little place called Winnipeg. The Arts and Tech Center is a pretty cool place, and we are broadcasting live from the Podcast Center in the Louis-Riel Arts and Technology Center. And this is a program, the broadcast media program, that is probably, I'll say it very quietly, the gem of all of the 13 programs in Louis-Riel School Division. It's one of those programs that helps you find an extra little slice of what your possibility can be. Because as we go through the school system, we keep wondering, you know what? What should I do after high school? It's a common question, common problem. It is the ubiquitous problem. It is the one rite of passage question we ask ourselves constantly. What should I do after high school? Well, high school students, some indeed, take this opportunity to test their skills, to think about another possibility, to think about where the future can lie. And a center like this, with 13 applied technical and apprenticeship programs, offers a high school student a new possibility, a new way to think about what the future can look like. And it's very important. And there ought to be more places like this. Louis-Riel School Division is fortunate to have them. We just had our open house a little while ago, and the place was packed, just packed. And there must have been 400 or 500 people in the gym. And that's a testimony to the interest in what can high school do for me? How can high school make me stronger? What other programs are there in high school that can help me think about what my best self could be and where my best fit might be? And even, certainly, what my next step might be when I leave high school. There are other programs in this place. There's an applied business management program, automotive technology. You can bake. You can build carpenter-like building. You can cook in the culinary arts program. You can do early childhood educator classes. You can think about being an electrician, thinking about being an esthetician, thinking about being a hairstylist, thinking about being an IT, information systems program, new media design, plumbing trades. If you want a taste of that, it's here. That's the opportunity. And we're here with our capable co-host team. We have a co-host team this year that we've changed. We're in episode 2 of season 8. That's an amazing thing. Season 8 in a large continuum. We're in the 80s. We might be 84. This might be episode 84. That's an amazing thing. We are with André Poirier. How are you?
The one, truly. I am doing as good as I can be right now.
Why? What's your problem, man?
Oh, I don't know if I should share it.
Well, you tell it.
All right. For you guys, my car is not looking so good right now.
What is our car?
I said my car. Okay. My car, not looking too good. Icy roads, run to a turning lane, didn't stop in time.
What happened? Did you crash?
Yeah. Yeah.
You crashed.
Crashed.
You feel sad when you crash. As a young guy, did you feel super sad?
No, I felt scared.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I saw him walk out of his car. He looked at his car. He looked at mine. And since nothing happened to his car, he's like, "Are you okay?" I walk out. I go, "Yeah, I'm fine." I turn to my car. Oh, that's so bad.
Oh, that hurts, man.
And then after that, we pulled into somewhere else, exchanged information. And then my dad came. I called him. I'm like, "Hey, Dad, I hit someone." Like, "All right, I'm coming."
Whose car is it? Is it yours or dad's?
My dad's and my stepmom's.
Okay.
Yeah, so they filed everything.
Okay, so how are you feeling right now? You feeling better?
Feeling better. Still using the car until the repairs. The only thing that was damaged was the air conditioning. In winter, you don't need the air conditioning.
Should have just got to roll the window down. You're in good shape.
Exactly.
You're good.
That's
how
I see it.
Well, that sucks. You know what? I recall my first crash, and I was despondent after it. So you sound pretty calm. Mm-hmm. I remember crashing my Gremlin.
Your Gremlin?
The old Gremlin. And I was sad. Mostly because my stereo wouldn't work.
Oh.
I had to rock, baby. I must rock. All right? Anyway, that's too bad. Sorry about that. And you can't see this, but I'm physically touching his arm as a show of excellent affection for him.
Thank you.
It sucks having your first crush.
It does.
Now you have a story. It's a great story. It's one of these dots you collect. I talk about collecting dots in this program. All these dots are cool. And you look sad. You just don't have your certain exuberance. Knocking that up. But you've also been, with the broadcast media program, working the Mamma Mia musical at J.H. Brown's.
Oh, boy.
How's that been?
That has been great. We watched it once on Monday, and I was going there morning and evening, Wednesday, Thursday. A lot of work, camera, just for 2 hours straight, operating it, getting told what to do. I know you make fun of everybody for saying they're tired, but I have a reason to be tired because I was out there until
I don't make fun of you. I just get tired of you saying you're tired.
Right, so I won't
you
say...
You make me tired when you say you're tired. Okay.
Well, yeah, it was fun. I really enjoyed it. I gotta say, if any of their students are watching, an amazing show. It was so good. The harmony was so nice. The dancing was well coordinated. The props, the costumes, the actors themselves, they put so much work into it.
See, that's fantastic. But they have a real solid drama program there.
They do.
And a musical drama program. Mm-hmm. I've been to some high school musicals. I love going to them because any student who goes up on stage and puts themselves up there, that's amazing to me.
Yeah.
It is. Like, in sometimes it's dreadful, like the sound. Like, you're not a singer, mm-hmm. but you're giving it all. I love it.
Yeah.
I just love it. Even though I need to see a doctor after to get my ears checked, it's really good stuff. It's really engaging stuff. Mm-hmm. And you're stepping outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah, that's
what. Have you ever thought about stepping on stage?
I have. I did before. For a French competition of plays, we had to make our own play, write it, choreography it, act it out in front of a bunch of students. There's like a bunch of French schools all in there in this competition. I think we won some awards, but it wasn't too much because.
So you're an actor.
I was an actor.
You were at one time. Anyway, that's all very interesting. What a crazy life you've had this week.
Oh boy,
that's tremendous. Good for you.
Thank you.
You're learning. You're growing. You're becoming stronger. That's what life is.
That's all it's all about.
Hey, Lena.
Lena.
Hello.
Lena. Yay, Lena. Hey, I'm gonna try to pronounce Lena Alforti. She's here. And Lena, you've had an interesting week, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
What's going on in your week?
Busy week.
That's this last week, she said she was tired. Now she's busy. I like that. I like
very busy week, but I'm feeling good. I've been getting enough sleep, so not too tired. But yeah, this week was crazy. Had a few shifts, and it's also Ramadan too. So I've been fasting, but today I'm taking a little break. But yeah, I've been helping my mom.
How can you take a break from the fast of Ramadan?
If you're not feeling well, or when a girl gets her menstrual cycle, they don't fast. So
okay, why did I even ask this question?
No, it's okay. I don't mind. I have no problem. Oh, it's educating people because actually not a lot of people know that.
I had no idea because I know some people who do Ramadan and they're strict on it. I mean,
oh yeah, my family's a little bit more chill, but there are a lot of more like people that are way more religious about it. So I guess it depends on the family. But my family's pretty just like, you know. Fast
so
and then, yeah.
Explain about Ramadan a bit because that's interesting. What are you allowed to eat and drink?
So it's basically like a holy month, and you can. I know some people do it differently, like some religions. I think I have two kids in my class. I'm not sure what the religion is, but they actually fast. They eat throughout the day, but they don't eat meat and like dairy products.
Yes.
So that's what their fast is. But for Muslims, we basically fast from sunrise to sunset, and then we break our fast. Usually my family eats a lot of like our traditional foods, like would be rice and meat, just a lot of like kebab, shawarma, like traditional Arab food. And we don't really have restrictions on what we can eat, but usually there's like a little like tradition that Muslims do where they break the fast at the table with a date and water, and then they eat the food. I don't really know why or where that comes from, but that's
you know
always been a
crazy
thing.
Tradition about
right?
it. Something happened a long ago. Find out that story. That
yeah, I will. I'm going to research more about it, but my family has been doing it for years, and I know a lot of other Muslim families who do it as well. So, yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. So, I'm not sure I could do it. I think I'd be sneaking in
It's cheesies. Really hard.
I think I'd be sneaking in cheesies and Twizzlers and different...
It's hard. It's a lot of self-discipline. And, like, the reason we do it, I don't know if I'm going to explain it properly, but it is kind of to, like, feel and connect with people who don't have food or, like, kind of, like... I don't even know how to explain it. This is a really bad explanation, but it's just like kind of caring and disciplining yourself and feeling for the people who don't have as much as
so
you.
So when the fast is over, this is a spiritual experience for you, correct?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How do you feel during it? And at the end of it, how do you feel?
Well, in the beginning, I feel really exhausted. Like it's really hard in the beginning to start and like, especially making that transition from eating like, 3 or 4 meals a day and then to eating nothing and then just that one meal at the end of the day. So it's really exhausting. And oftentimes when I have homework and school, like it makes me way less motivated. Or when I even have to sew, it's so like, ugh, you know. So I end up taking a nap usually in the first few 2 weeks. Like I end up doing nothing. Like I'm always behind on my homework because I'm just so tired. You know, you have no energy when you have no
food or water. So when does Ramadan end?
So it started, it's a month. So this year it ends on April 10th. And I believe it started, mid-March. I'm not sure. But it's almost over. I think we have 2 or 1 week and a half left.
So you're planning a big meal on April 11th?
Yeah. So actually April 10th is, I'm not sure if it's April 10th or 11th, but it's a celebration called Eid, which comes after Ramadan. And it's where you celebrate with your family. You're allowed to, like, the fasting's over. So you eat breakfast, whatever. It's a really nice time. You get money from your family. We have that as a tradition.
Cool.
And little
cash.
Gifts. Mm, yeah. It's nice. Really nice every year. And I heard home in Jordan, where I'm from, people knock on their neighbor's door and it's like Halloween and they give them money. It's like trick or treat and it's hilarious. That's what we do back home. Here it's different, but back home it's like that.
So
it's
in
nice.
Those days, so back in Jordan, are you looking around for the right houses? Like kids doing Halloween here?
Hey, yeah, bigger houses.
Those guys are giving real chocolate bars, not the little ones. Is that what happens back there?
Yeah, that's what I remember. That's what I hear. Oh, it's usually like your close neighborhood that you do. So yeah.
So when did you come to Canada?
I was actually born in Winnipeg, but I went back to Jordan until I was like 2 years old, and then we moved back to Winnipeg.
Okay.
So it was only for Jordan. I was only in Jordan for like two or like a few years, like not really that much time.
That's it.
So, yeah.
It's a beautiful place, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
I know.
I love it there.
People talk about just how there's antiquity there, right? It's an old
yeah, it's
old
beautiful
space, right?
Yeah, nothing has really changed.
History.
It's always
history
history, exactly.
It's such a place of history. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. That's amazing.
Where is Jordan?
It's in the Middle East. Like it's I'm so bad with geography. I literally don't even know. But it's in the Middle East. It's in Asia.
Oh. Okay.
So yeah.
Oh, I have an idea where it is.
Yeah, she only cares where the plane lands. Are we there yet? Are we in Jordan yet? That's okay.
That's good. Look out the window and see what you see. There's turkey down there.
There's turkey. And I heard you pronounce turkey differently.
I heard
looking at Turkey, I-Y-E or something. Like the way we pronounce it is completely out to lunch in North America.
Is well, I'm not sure really. I've been saying turkey. I'm sure it is pronounced differently.
Turkey,
yeah.
But I was watching a World Cup. A soccer match, and the name Turkey, and I went, oh my gosh, is that Turkiye or something like that?
Oh, okay.
I have no idea. So I might be completely off on this, but they were spelling it in a completely different way, and somebody said, that's the way you really spell Turkey.
Okay.
And that's the way you really pronounce it when the announcer pronounced the name.
Went,
oh. So we're, in North America here, we pronounce it like it's
like how it's spelled.
Like, you know, the Christmas dinner turkey.
Yeah, like turkey.
Which makes no sense. Anyway, lots to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about what you're taking at J.H. Bruns. What kind of courses you're taking? Because we're going to spend this podcast talking to Lena, our co-host.
Yay!
We had a good time talking to Andre last time.
As much as I like talking.
Her moment in the spotlight. Tell me about the kinds of things you're taking at J.H. Bruns. What's attracting you? What in the courses are attracting you to certain kinds of activities?
So I like to gravitate towards courses that are more like physically hands-on courses, kind of like art and sewing and stuff like that. I just like being in a place where I can use my creativity and work with other people that are creative like me, and like just connect, make connections with people that are artistic. I love like creative, artistic people. I just love to hear their ideas. And we have some amazing art students at Bruns, like really talented stuff I've never seen before. It's really cool. So when I took art in, I think it was in grade 10, I had some, like, I learned a lot of things from even other students, not just the teacher. Like, they're incredibly talented. So I think we have a lot of, like you said, for the musical program as well, we have a great drama program, a lot of creatives in Bruns. Really awesome. So, yeah.
So do you partake of all that? Do you get your head right into those programs? Do you act? Do you sing? Do you dance? Do you like being on the technical side of it and collaborating and conceptualizing those things?
You know, I've always wanted to do musical, but I have such bad stage fright, and I love to sing and I can sing, but I just have a hard time doing it in front of people. So I would have to say I'm more on the technical side, but yeah.
Well, don't you feel like if you took the course, do you think you'd be better at learning that stage fright? Because you learn techniques on how to not get scared.
That's really true. But I feel like I was really shying away from drama, and I regret it. That's one of my biggest regrets, not taking musical in high school. So I really wish I took it, and the teacher's really great, and I'm sure I would have learned a lot of things. I was just scared. So yeah, like this in grade 12, this is the first year where I really feel confident, and this is the most confident I've ever felt in my life. Like in my previous years of high school, I was always a shy kid, really quiet, super scared to present. But I feel like with the experiences I've went through, it's made me a better person and way more confident. So that's why I guess I didn't take it before, but yeah.
You've outgrown this.
Yeah.
Do you think you would ever want to take another course any other time, like outside? If you're going to college or something, do you want to take like drama club or something?
I definitely want to take music lessons. Like, I've been getting into singing this year when I joined guitar class. We had to do these things called independent learning, and it's kind of like doing a cover of a song. And he didn't ask anyone to sing, but singing is like one of my biggest strengths, and I was better at singing than guitar. So I thought I would do like a simple guitar song and sing to make it kind of like a better cover, because I know I'm a good singer. So I got feedback from him, and he said, I could listen to you all day. You have an amazing voice. And that boosted my ego a little bit. So I was like, okay, maybe I can do this. So I started posting little cover songs on my Instagram stories, and I would get amazing feedback from people, and people asking me to do a cover of this song and this song.
And that's where it starts.
So, yeah, that's where it starts. So I'm thinking of taking some music lessons, actually, or like attending some kind of club or something like that. Yeah, definitely.
Do you still feel like when you play that music, like you have to, oh my gosh, you're still super nervous about it?
Yeah, in front of, like, I imagine myself doing it in front of people. I don't think I would be able to sing as good as I do alone in front of people. Like, I feel like I would stutter and like get super nervous. So I'm trying to get to that point, and I would love to sing live, honestly. Like, that's one of my biggest.
That's one of the biggest fears of any high school student.
Yeah.
In fact, public speaking is sometimes equated with death on a list of things that I want to avoid. Honestly,
it is.
It literally was. When I was growing up, we saw studies like that.
Yeah.
And people standing in front of a group, putting yourself out there, is a great challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that way many times. You're going to feel that way, Andre. Like, there's times even when you think, I'm super confident in there. You go in front of a group. I've been in front of groups of 200 where I go on and suddenly...
immediately, it's just,
the light's going on that there's 200 people in front of me.
Yeah.
But you learn how to get around it. You know, there's a program. I remember teaching in the... I started something called the Career Internship Program at, Windsor, at River East Collegiate, and then brought it to Windsor Park. One of the things we did was Toastmasters training. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
I brought Toastmasters in, and... originally, you're probably thinking, oh, they must make a nice breakfast or something. Beautiful toast. They're masters of toast. No, they're not. Toast, to give a toast to someone.
It is
exercises in public speaking. There are Toastmaster groups around this city who organize and practice public speaking. And we had students do it. when I was doing the, it's called the Career Internship Program at Windsor Park, they still do it, I think. These students said at the end of the program, the most important thing they did in the entire program, we did internships, we did job shadows, we did major projects, we were going to concerts. It was like your applied business management program.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the program just for everyone. Lena's in something in the Arts and Tech Center called the Applied Business Management Program, which is a little microcosm of a program I ran at Windsor Park and at River East. But I had 120 kids in it.
Oh, wow.
At River East. It was bigger. Mm-hmm. And Windsor Park had about 30 to 40. They said at the end of these programs, the most important thing they did was Toastmasters.
That's so cool.
Because it got them in front of a group.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
And they had to practice. Because if you think you're not good at it, and you said I slowly felt a little better when I was urged on, and I felt the positive affirmation from my teacher, the more you practice, mm-hmm. the easier it will become.
Exactly.
And if we're afraid of it, we don't practice.
Yeah.
Right? So you're going to get better, both of you. I can say to both of you, if you truly want to do that, you can join a Toastmasters group. They're out there right now. There's 30 of them right now. If you looked up Toastmasters on the internet, looked up Winnipeg, you'll see 50 groups out there.
Okay.
Where we find a good breakfast club.
It is. It's like the breakfast club. That's what it is. But those are things, when you overcome, how do you overcome those things? Devo fare la pratica. You have to practice.
Yeah.
You must do the practice. Mm-hmm. And there's things that we're afraid of. You talked about it last time, Andre. Like, I'm not good at this, so I'm going to avoid it.
Oh, are you talking about Premier Pro here?
Premier Pro. Coming back to your Premier Pro problem. If you're not good at it, you kind of avoid it. But as you get better at it, as you practice Premier Pro, suddenly you get better at it. Suddenly you overcome some of it. And the new fear emerges with Premier Pro because they're using it at a higher level. Mm-hmm. And then it gets harder. And then you overcome that because you practice. And those are the pieces. You stand in front of a group a long time, Lena, something good's going to happen to you. Mm-hmm. In terms of your confidence, your skill, your ability to move forward, and to think that I'm going to do this bigger now. I'm not going to sit in my own little comfortable world.
Exactly.
And I just wish that for every student. You step outside of your comfort world.
I know.
And you go try things. And if you fall flat, in your mind, you never really fall flat, in my mind. Like, people talk about failure. I don't even use that. You just iterate. Mm-hmm. You iterate.
Exactly.
You fall, you iterate, you get up, and you do it again.
How is anybody supposed to know how good you are singing if you never can sing in front of everybody?
Well, she sang in front of her
My music teacher, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And awesome. A few of my, like people on, like, there's a thing on Instagram called Close Friends, like a story that you can add the people to it. So I added, like, people that I'm most comfortable with, like, usually my close friends.
You're posting yourself on Instagram singing.
Yeah, like a little cover.
See, that's pretty confident things, right?
Yeah.
You're also testing yourself to see if anyone... Now, if somebody said, oh my God, you suck, you'd stop, right? You think you would?
No, because think of it as, like, if you get more positive feedback than negative, then I would say that. If I get one DM that says you suck versus 10 DMs that say you're awesome or you sing really good, I'm not going to stop just because of one, right?
Okay.
So, yeah.
But why would you stop? If you like it, why would you stop at all?
That's true.
If you like it, it makes you feel good.
Yeah. Why stop?
I mean, why?
Yeah, exactly.
And your skill will emerge as you get better at it.
Like, yeah, anything, exactly.
You know, from Premier Pro to singing in Carnegie Hall. I think it's the same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so what are the things you're taking at J.H. Bruns? I see the art stuff. You like the art stuff. Are you a math person?
Absolutely not. I've always been bad at math. I've had a tutor since, like, grade 10. And other than, like, from there, I've just been taking essentials math because I just feel like, I don't know, I feel like ever since I've been young, I've really struggled with math, and I have no idea why. Like, my parents, I went through multiple tutors, and I don't know, it's just the way my mind works. I have no clue.
Maybe.
Yeah, me and Andre can relate.
But I come back to your Premier Pro example,
uh-oh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
Again.
This guy sucks at Premier Pro. No, he doesn't. And I come back to my own son, who was told all through high school, you're not good at this.
Yeah.
You have to take essential. And then he went out and found the right voice and worked in his learning style to acquire. So you just may not be acquiring it.
That's
the learning style that works for you. Because most teachers assume you're an auditory learner.
Exactly. Not they a lot of that. Teachers. I'm a huge visual
because
learner.
They're at the front of the room and they're talking. Yeah. And they're writing things on the board. And yeah. so as you try to keep up to their voice and they're writing things on the board, you may be a kinesthetic learner. You said you like hands-on.
Yeah.
You said you like to manipulate and sew and do things. Yeah. Right? Why can't you learn math like that?
I don't know. I feel like because actually,
because
what's a
they
big
don't
thing?
Do it, Lena.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't do it for you.
It's a big thing. No one teaches visually. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I've worked with your class. I think about the learning yeah. styles, right? We
yes.
talk learning styles. Why can't you do things you had trouble with in the learning style that works for you?
Because they don't do it. And
they don't,
actually,
but now the responsibility is on you to figure
yeah,
that out.
Exactly.
I'll work
yeah,
with you
yeah.
if you want to figure
yeah.
that out. You probably are a decent math student, but you haven't heard the right voice yet.
Yeah.
And you haven't practiced in a learning style that works for you. I
yeah.
truly believe that. I saw it in
That's
my own
true.
Son.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who said, I hate math. I hate math because I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
Right? And I've been told I'm not good at it. Somebody tells you you're not good at something long enough, you'll go, okay.
You'll believe it. And
just,
then yeah.
you hang out with that math. You mm-hmm. want to? Are you going to start trying math or
yeah.
you avoid it?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you avoid math?
Yeah.
Now here's the issue for you, because you're a young entrepreneur. She's an entrepreneur. Do you know this?
Yeah.
tell us about your little company. You got a company in grade 11.
Yeah.
You got your own mm-hmm. website. Tell us about that.
Okay, so I started getting into fashion into grade 10. I made a few friends that were into fashion when I came into grade 10 in my sewing class, and they were just such interesting, creative people, and I learned a lot from them, and that's how I really got into fashion, all because of them. And I started kind of researching and looking at all these like designer brands, and I found a few of these brands, and they're like still my biggest inspirations today. There's a brand called Rick Owens. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of it, and there's like Mugler, Jean-Paul Gaultier. Those are my biggest inspirations. So when I started getting into that, I started just kind of exploring in sewing class, taking random pieces of fabric, sewing stuff together, just trying. And I sucked in the beginning. And there was a lot of times where I wanted to give up. Like it was really bad. I would cry sometimes too because exactly. Yeah, but there was.
She said she cried.
No, but
she
said
but
I didn't give up.
You never gave up.
I told you.
yeah, oftentimes when we were given like an assignment, like my sewing teacher would assign, oh, we're making like a pair of pants today, or we're making this, like all the other students didn't even have an interest in sewing. They just took it for the credit and they were better than me. So that made me feel awful, but I'm so glad I didn't give up. I kept going. I took sewing the next year because I said I'm so passionate about this and I love fashion so much. I would always dress super extra for school. I still do. I got a lot of looks, but I got used to it, and I just feel like the way I dress is the way I express myself, especially because I've always been a super shy kid growing up. The way I dress just helped me to express myself because I wasn't much of a talker in class. I had so much social anxiety, and yeah, I was like a quiet kid. But I found out about this program called Propel in Nelson Mack in grade 11 when I first like orientation of grade 11 in Bruns, and there was a huge presentation about it and like a video that they showed us in my electronics class, my first period. And there was this guy that his name was Adam Small, and so his story is like he was a 19 year old designer who went to Propel, and he's from Winnipeg as well, and he like they showed him as an example for the fashion program. And even when I heard the word fashion program, I was so shocked because I didn't know we had something like that in Winnipeg. I know that there is MC College, our fashion school here, but I didn't think that there was like any other opportunities that you can get into without a bunch of money, right? So immediately,
or even to try it out in high school,
exactly,
aside from the sewing
yeah.
class.
Yeah, so I was super surprised. I was like, wow. So I saw this guy, Adam Small, and they kind of interviewed him in this video, and it was all about his brand. He's a 19 year old, or I think in the video he was 17, and he was doing all this awesome stuff, like these pants, patchwork, upcycled, reused material. He would paint on his clothes. Like, he would use his, like, t-shirts that he made as, like, a canvas. And I found it beautiful. And the type of fashion that it was, the, like, the fashion that I was into was my style. So I was like, oh, no way. Because I didn't know that there was other people like me. Like, I followed a few people on Instagram, but obviously they weren't in Winnipeg. Like, they would be somewhere in America, right? And they would be, like, super famous, but I went on Instagram and I found Adam and I followed him from there. And at the time he had like, oh, I don't know how much he had. I think on his personal account, he had like 11,000 followers. So I was like, okay, you know what? This is giving me hope. Like maybe I could be like this guy. So I signed up for Propel the day of and I got super excited. And then I got accepted into it like, I think a week later, something like that. So fast forward, I get to Propel, awesome room, like super cool. They had their own little sewing area, machines, fabrics. It wasn't the highest quality stuff, but we had a budget. So if you wanted something, you could request and you could buy it. And my teacher was super nice. And so I started, before I got to Propel in summer, I had all these ideas in my head, but I'm not the greatest drawer, so it wouldn't come off as I wanted it to. So I would print out these fashion templates off of Pinterest and I would draw my ideas and I would post them on my Instagram to get people's thoughts. And people really liked this idea. And like this specific idea that I had was these cargo pants, just black plain cargo pants and with like cut up belts and pockets on the knees and the on the back. And people were like, oh, I've never seen something like this before. Like, this is super cool. When are you making this? And I just got a lot of positive feedback and I started to gain a bit more attention online. So I was like, okay, and I was gaining so much more confidence, obviously, because people were believing in what I was doing. So I got to Propel and I started my journey by making like pants out of scratch. And I would go thrifting on the weekends with my friends and get these like belts and these old vests and jackets and cut up pockets from them. And I would just start like do whatever. I said, don't make it good. Just go. It's practice. Cause I was still getting to like, know sewing a bit more because I wasn't used to sewing things from scratch. I usually took something and like put something on it because, I didn't have the best experiences with sewing things from scratch. So Propel was a huge learning experience. I made, I think, about 6 or 7 pants out of scratch. And I mastered the skill when I got out of Propel. I got the opportunity to have photo shoots there. They have like a huge room where we set up like white backdrop. And all my friends were my models. They helped me out. Gorgeous people. They're on my website now. I got to build my own website. I did it through Shopify. So it's not too hard. You just build a template and it's awesome. Like that's where it all started. And from there I gained, I gained a couple hundred followers from there. And then came summer after Propel, which I decided to do. I said, I think I'm ready to do some kind of fashion show because, I had hosted a fashion show at my school and I was interested in doing my own, which was obviously a crazy amount of work, but I went out and researched a bunch of like community centers or places where I could do this show. And I said, I'm just going to send out this invitation to a bunch of creatives I follow on Instagram and just see who shows up. It was just kind of like an experiment. And so I found this community center called St. Norbert Community Center. It was this huge room I rented out. We went in there early, we decorated, we sketched out, like me and my friends sketched out of how we wanted everything everywhere. And I'm so thankful to have the friends that I have. I have a huge group of friends who have been supporting me and helping me through this. I genuinely think I could have never done it without them. They were like, even they would help me with editing shoots and like creative. They're super awesome. I love them so much. But yeah, so I found that community center and I sent out the invitations. I made them through Photoshop. And I was super scared of how it was going to turn out, because with some, like with hosting in a big event like that, you don't know who's going to show up. And I did have a thing on the card that said reserve, like how do you even say that? RSVP. Yeah. And most people did. So I was like, okay, I think this is going to go okay. I think it's going to go well. So we set up these curtains and lights and we were ready. We had food as well. And I had like these little, my mom has a good friend that's a baker, and she made cookies, like sugar cookies with my logo on it, and it was awesome. I have like a bunch of pictures on my Instagram. And so it came time for the show, and people were slowly walking in, and I was getting so nervous, like my heart was beating, because I had never met these people in person. Like, these were all people I followed on Instagram, right? Like just creatives and fashion influencers from Winnipeg. And I had actually invited Adam as well. Before that, I forgot to mention, during Propel, I DM'd him. I did not expect him to answer at all, but I DM'd him through Instagram. And I said, hey, my name's Lena. I'm starting this brand and I'm in Propel, like the same program you went to, and this and that. And then within 2 minutes, he answered right away. And this guy had like a lot of followers. So I was like, wow. Like, I was super shocked. And so he started giving me all this advice. He's super sweet, like really down to earth, humble guy. And then I sent him an invitation to the show, and he said, okay, awesome, I'll be there. And I was super scared. Like, I was so nervous because I've been looking up to this guy for like, he's the reason why I went to Propel. Like, I've been looking up to him forever. So people were slowly walking in, and I was waiting and waiting and waiting, and he didn't end up showing up, but it gets better. But when the show, it was a time for the show to start, and people were taking their seats, not as much people showed up as I wanted, but it was still like a really good turnout for the first event I've ever hosted all by myself. Like, I paid for everything. I did, like, my mom was obviously a huge help, but I was me. Like, I was the event coordinator for everything. And people were like, the show started and the models were walking out, and I think I had about 10 models, and they were all my friends. And the show was about to finish, and I was behind the curtain, and I didn't expect people to, like, I thought people were going to clap right after, like when it's over, and there was just silence. And I was like, okay, what is happening? Like, did they not like it? And then I peeked my head a little bit, and someone started to clap, and I realized that they were waiting for me to walk out. And I didn't want to do that, because I talked about like how I'm super shy and like stage fright, super scared of doing that. So I ended up walking out. I think someone has a video of me. It was kind of like a really shy walk. I walked all the way at the end of the door, and there was crazy amount of claps and like cheering, and it was insane. Like, that was one of the biggest moments of my life. Like, that's I think when I knew, okay, I can make this a real thing, and I think this is going to be my career. That moment is when I knew. And so, I go through that door and I meet with the models, and we're all hugging, and it was one of the happiest moments. It was awesome. Like, an amazing experience. It was a crazy life experience. And the rest of the party went really great. I met like some crazy fashion influencers, and people were really well dressed. Like, it was my style. I felt like I was with my people. Like, it was great. There was a photo booth, and I got to meet such amazing people.
Wow. Take a breath.
Yeah.
That was a story. You said you're shy and a little worried sometimes. You tell a hell of a story.
Thank you.
That was a very good story. So part of your brand, I'm hearing right now, is this story you just told has to become part of your brand.
Yeah.
And how it happened. So you have to spend time working on how do I tell that story quickly and easily? And this is amazing. Yeah. That's a neat thing to happen. You mentioned your mom. So your mom's a big influence then, right?
My mom, yeah, she's an amazing dresser. I really also got into fashion because of my mom. She loves like the big coats with fur, and like that's her style. Like, and I love that. It's like classic Arab mom with the gold and the fur. And I love my mom. Yeah, she's always been my biggest supporter. She's never, like a lot of my other family, even when they doubted me, like she would always stand up for me, defend me, because I'm her only daughter, and she, like, me and her have always had a super close bond, and I'm so thankful to have that with
her. That's so cool. Yeah. And I know Adam very well. I was in Propel.
No way.
I worked in Propel for
that's awesome
3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And so Adam was one of the people I worked with.
Yeah.
He was, a very bright kid.
Yeah, he's awesome. I actually got to, when he had a pop-up after my fashion show, I went and that's when I met him. Good. And we had like an hour-long talk. We talked about a possible collab. Nice, he's awesome. And it was amazing to meet like basically my idol, like the person who I look up to. That's and we still cool. talk on Instagram now, that's so he's cool. awesome. Yeah.
No, he's keep in touch with him and keep yeah. in touch with the other people you've met. Like, don't mm-hmm, lose sure. track of these people. They're
perfect. Oh, yeah. And I still do. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very good.
Very yeah. good. Hey, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. I think it's time.
I think it is.
For a little game.
Oh, no.
No, it's not the game. It's time for one of the lamest things we do in the podcast. But we know that Andre is going to turn into something fantastic. I can't wait. Are you ready, Andre?
All right.
What are we doing?
We are doing quick cues. Basically, how it works is I ask you a bunch of quick questions and you answer as quickly as possible.
Okay.
A lot of cues. So, get a little bit of music in here. Intense music. Vertical photos or horizontal photos?
Horizontal.
World War I or World War II?
World War II.
Pet bird or pet fish?
Pet bird.
Face ID or fingerprint for your
Face
phone?
Face ID.
Greatest movie of all time?
Greatest movie of all time? Oh my god, I don't know. Oh my god.
Too long. Auto-corrected to cars. I'm kidding.
Okay.
Grandma or grandpa?
Grandpa.
Head, shoulders, knees, or toes?
Shoulders.
Elma or Daphne?
Daphne.
Scooby-Doo or the Ghostbusters?
Scooby-Doo.
What a fun quick cue. But with every one of these, there's one very important question. What is your favorite podcast?
Adventures in Career Land.
That's what we needed.
All right. Hey, what kind of questions are you asking? Do you choose between her grandma and her grandpa? You're a cruel man.
And then, World War One or World War II?
Oh, yeah, I prefer World War One. I thought it was more humane.
No.
What are you talking about? Okay, we're going to... Again, this is why this is lame. Some of the questions are kind of ridiculous. So we're going to work on that online. Yeah, but I appreciate you doing this. I like your sense of drama. You got the good tension, my friend. You just got to raise the bar on a couple of these questions. Holy smokes. So what if grandma or grandpa's listening to this?
I hope not.
Oh, no. Grandpa's no longer going to give me rides.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Anyway, I love it. I love that you're doing this. And everybody, you know what? What a fun time. Lena, for someone who feels like, sometimes I don't feel confident, I think you told a great story.
Thank you.
And I think there's confidence oozing out of you in a way that's going to manifest itself. I mean, sitting on a stage and running your own fashion show is pretty impressive.
Thank you.
So whenever you feel like, I hope in your mind you think, whenever I feel like I don't know if I can do that, you've got a lot of touchstones that say you can.
Thank you.
That where you stepped off, you jumped off a cliff and said, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, and I'm slowly starting to learn that, like, this confidence, it was not always a thing. Like, it's been built up with all my experiences that I've had. When, like, with public speaking as well, that fashion show helped me. Like,
of
that
course,
was,
of
yeah,
it's, well, it's
being
enormous.
In front of a bunch of, yeah.
And I run a career in post-secondary symposium in November. And you made me think, you're a young entrepreneur. I'd like to get a group of young entrepreneurs in Lurel together and sit in a room and have conversations.
I'd love that.
What do you think about that?
I love that idea.
Okay.
I think it's a really cool idea.
You're in charge of it.
Okay, never mind.
All right, just keep recruiting. Andre, you can run the room too. So
I'm
not going to. But ladies and gentlemen, boy, what an interesting. Those are our two co-hosts. Episode one, Andre. Episode two, Lena. And we're going to start very shortly with some other guests we're going to bring in, and they're going to be kind of asked questions and grilled by these enterprising two young co-hosts, along with me, Adriano Magnifico. Hey, you can catch this podcast on all your favorite podcast platforms and check it out in social media spaces. But that's it for another edition of Adventures in Career Land. Thanks for listening.